Today on the Whole Person Podcast, we are going to be talking about what it means to have a devotional life with God, what it means to spend time with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and how we can grow in a deeper, more intimate relationship, and what quality time with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit looks like. So today, we're having on as our guest, Don Hocker, who wrote a book, The Discipline of Daily Devotion, Time with God. And he has a dog named Lucy, and he wrote the book in conjunction of spending time not only with God over the last 11 years, but I'm sure Lucy was right there with him. Don, you've been a lay person in the Methodist Church for a very long time. And what I love about you specifically is you're teaching people, even as a lay person, what it means to spend time with God. Because a lot of times people think they have to be in ministry to do ministry. And I really appreciate your point of view, which means that you don't have to be an ordained minister to do ministry. So Don, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Evan, and thank you for having me.
You bet. So Don, right off the bat, you've spent time every single day in a devotional life. How long have you been consistent in doing it every single day?
As I state in my book, Evan, I was saved back on February 15th of 2011. And so would just pretty much start from that date, even though I was doing devotional time before that. So say about 12 years, every single morning I have spent time, quiet time, as I call it, in devotion, spending time with the Lord.
So I'm someone who is actually an ordained minister myself, but even I struggle at times due to life's chaos, having a daily devotional life. And I can tell when I've been fairly consistent and when I've missed a few days. So I want to ask you this. Why is it important to have a consistent routine to spend time with God?
Well, you know, with any relationship, Evan, there has to be that consistency. And I truly believe that in order to have a consistent or have a quality relationship with Lord and with Jesus, you just have to spend time with them. And that's why I feel like it's so very important to carve out some time each day on a routine basis in order to spend that quality time with the Lord. And I realize the chaos in our lives, it makes it difficult, especially if you have young children. I guess what helped me was the fact when I really started doing this, both my children were out of the home. And so as I explain in my book, I would, after my wife got out of the home, go to work. And before I went to work is when I started with that devotional time. I didn't have young children that I had to deal with, so it really helped me out a lot in developing that consistent time.
Yeah. So what are some, I don't want to say tricks, but are there some things that have helped you along the way to establish consistency?
Yeah. I think it's very important to have a spot in your home, a regular spot that you go to, wherever that may be, to where you can be comfortable, where it can be quiet, and to where you can really focus on what you're doing. So I think that's the number one key, is to have a good spot in your house, even though I have spent a lot of mornings when I've been traveling or elsewhere in hotel rooms and other places, but get a good spot in the home. And secondly, for those who are kind of new to this, get a good commentary, good Bible commentary that will offer explanations and kind of walk you through a Bible study. So I think those two things are essential in developing that consistent pattern of spending daily and consistent time with the Lord.
So one of the things that as a Christian, I want to have a quiet time, a devo with God. But what I find is I tend to make it religious and a Christian duty at times, where I'm trying to check it off as a duty per day versus sometimes walking into that as a relationship and intimacy. And so for someone who struggles with that personally, what are some advice or something that you've learned over the years to help keep your heart sensitive towards relationship versus just doing it out of Christian obligation?
Well, you know, you have to, I think, to make it a relationship and a consistent and regular relationship, I think you need to constantly ask the Holy Spirit to guide you through it, to where it's not just an obligation or not just a routine, but I think you need to constantly ask the Holy Spirit to guide you through the morning, especially those mornings when your mind is elsewhere, things are going on, and you're not really focused in what you're doing. I don't want to paint the picture that it's a easy task of doing this every morning. You got to ask for help, and the Holy Spirit will guide you through, especially those difficult mornings where you're not focused on what you're doing.
So as I'm listening, I hear you saying is not just ask the Holy Spirit for help to guide you into a deeper relationship with God versus it just being a Christian obligation, which we can do, but you're really paralleling to something very important. What is the role of the Holy Spirit in our devotional life? And so let me ask you that. What's the Holy Spirit's role in our devotional life?
Sure. Well, let's just step back for just a minute. When a person becomes a true believer and accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior, when that happens, that's when the Holy Spirit will actually come and indwell within that believer's heart. Before that happens, the Holy Spirit is all over. But once you accept the Holy Spirit to guide you, you have the Holy Spirit to make you more Christ-like. So when that time to accept Jesus, that's when the Holy Spirit comes in, and the Holy Spirit is quite powerful.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes is by Jim Rohn. You are the average of the five closest people in your life. And when I look at my friends and the people in my life, I'm always trying to make sure that the people I hang out with are good quality people. And if someone's thinking, well, man, I don't have a lot of great people in my life, something that I think about is Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. Like, those are the top three. And if you can just spend time with them, then you'll actually begin to experience what I'd like to call a transformation, a spiritual transformation in your life. And so in your own walk, what are some things that you've noticed in your own life that you've been transformed simply by being consistent in a relationship with God?
Well, I think probably early on, God put some people in my life, mentioned quality people. God put some people in my life that really got me on the journey. I explained this in my book. I started a men's Bible and kind of an unconventional, to some extent, Bible study group during lunch. And that really got the spark going. And then my wife and I joined a 5-week couples, quote, Bible study. Those two things, and each led by different people, but just really strong, both of them were strong, are strong Christians. And so, you know, God's going to put quality people in your life, and he consistently does that with me. I have a lot of friends who are strong believers. I have friends who are not strong believers, and I just hope that, you know, however I act and whatever I say, maybe can create that spark in them. But nonetheless, you know, if you allow God to do it, He will put those quality people. And I think quality people, strong Christian quality people, really aid in the transformation process. Do I have a long way to go, man? Yeah, I got a long way to go, because I have the realization that that I'm a sinner, and that I need to daily seek God's forgiveness through confession and repentance. I continue to try to be more Christ-like each and every day, and be around good quality people, and continue to have my relationship with the Lord.
Absolutely. So in this process of transformation, what are some old things in your life that you feel like fell away because of the transformation that you've experienced by spending time with the Lord?
Well, I think pride went away for the most part. Everybody still experiences pride, and was replaced with humility. My ungratefulness now has been replaced with sincere gratefulness, realizing what Jesus did for me, and realizing how important that sin is to God. Beforehand, you know, no big deal. You know, you sin. But I still sin, but I realize how important that is to God. So I would say that the humility factor, the gratefulness factor, and the realization that sin is a big, big deal to God.
Yeah. You know, when I do my devos, there's something that I have fairly consistency when I do them. It's my journal. And I think that's a big part of my own devotional life and how I use it to essentially disciple myself and ask questions to God and note take and be a better listener. Also, I originally started doing my devotions with a cup of coffee until I couldn't drink coffee anymore. Yeah. You talk about having Lucy as a fixture in your devotion. I want to know why. And then also, what are some other things that people can have fixtures in their life as a part of their devotion?
Okay. Well, I'll just kind of take you back in time. When I started a devotion life in the mornings, after my wife was out the door, headed to work, and before I went to work, I would get Lucy and carry her into my study where I have my devotion time, put her in the chair, and we would do that every morning. And after a period of time, I didn't have to pick her up anymore. She knew where I was headed. And when I would leave the kitchen from cleaning up breakfast dishes or whatever and headed to my study, she knew what was going to happen, and she would follow right along behind me. And then I'd put her up in the chair, and she would stay there for as long as I was there. Truly a loyal dog. And I realized, especially after we lost her, because she was up in age, and we about 3 years, 4 years into the process, we had to put her down. It just made me realize just how loyal she was to me every single morning. And when I was saved on February 15th of 2011, when I got on my hands and knees and just cried and realized that I needed God in my life more than ever, man, she was just right there with me. And I take a one step further, just made me realize that how loyal God is to me and to other believers. I mean, he will never fail us. Now, does he make decisions that we don't like sometimes? Certainly. But he is always, always loyal. And so that's just, you know, realizing how Lucy was loyal to me, and then realizing how much God is loyal to me. That's been real important in this whole process for me.
So something that, as a father of four, a full-time real estate job, and a ministry, I can easily make the excuse, I don't have time.
Right, yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people might be in a similar boat where, like, I don't have time. I don't know where to get the time. I don't know how to carve time out, you know, because at some point we want to relax each day. We want to, you know, we have the meals, we have everything. So how does someone go about finding the time to spend in a devotional life?
Well, you know, as we kind of touched on earlier, you know, there's no necessarily magic fix. You know, and certainly with four children and full-time, more than one full-time job, I mean, I realize it's very difficult. You know, if it takes, you know, getting up 15 minutes earlier, or if it takes some time in the evening after the kids are down or whatever, it can be found. And I mean, you don't have to spend, you know, 2 hours, you know, reading the Bible and in prayer and meditation. It doesn't have to be like that. So, you know, if you can just find an extra 10 minutes or so somewhere in the day, then I think it's doable. Again, I had the luxury of, when I started all this, you know, my kids were gone, and it was just my wife and I. So, I mean, it just the environment that I had available to me was maybe a little bit more conducive in getting it started. And of course, you know, I've been able to continue it because, again, my kids are grown and they have their own homes. And so, you know, maybe in my situation, maybe a little easier said than done. I don't know, but I think you can find, if you just figure out, you know, what's going on in your life each day, and just try to figure out, hey, where can I grab a few minutes here, a few minutes there to do it.
Are you familiar with the Catholic monk, Brother Lawrence?
I've heard of Brother Lawrence.
So Brother Lawrence, on a side note, I think I might be related to him because his first name is Nicholas and his last name is Herman. And my last name's Herman. And Nicholas is right. One of our family names. And so I don't know. I think we might be related. That's a side note.
Yeah.
Something unique about Brother Lawrence is that when he was in the military in France, in one of the world wars, he got injured and he really couldn't provide for himself after the fact. So he decided to become a monk. And when he entered the monastery, he became the one over the money. And then they found out he was terrible with money. So they demoted him from accounting to cooking. And he was terrible at cooking. And then they demoted him to getting the food. But because of his physical injury from the war with his leg or foot, he took forever to get the food, and then the food never got to the cook on time. And so then they demoted him to dishwasher. And this guy kept getting demoted and demoted and demoted until, again, he reached a dishwasher. But it was in dishwashing where he found the presence of God. And he has a compilation of letters that got put into a book called The Practice of the Presence of God, where he talks about how the greatest times of relationship that he had found with the Lord was in washing dishes. And it amazes me because he was actually doing an act of service. He was doing something. It's not just carving out time, which we should do, but he learned how to practice the presence of God everywhere he went. And then what ended up happening is people from all over the world would come to travel to hear his teachings, which blew even the other monks in the monastery away because of his personal relationship with God that he was able to practice everywhere he went. And so my question to you, based on trying to carve out time, and you said only 15 minutes, it doesn't have to be 2 hours, how can we learn to live by practicing the presence of God everywhere we go?
Well, I think it requires that you be in constant communication with God. And by that, I mean this, is that, you know, throughout the day, even if it's a split second, I acknowledge God's presence. If something just very minor happens in a positive way, thank you, Lord, for that. Or, you know, I'm always thinking about God. I've got a friend who says we all need to live a God-saturated life. And I think the one way that you saturate your life with God's presence is just to be in regular communication, whether it's a quick thank you or God help me make the right decision here or whatever it may be. Have God in the forefront of your mind throughout the day. And I think if we do that, then we will be in God's presence regardless of what we're actually doing.
Yeah. Well, Don, as we're wrapping up here, tell people how they can follow you, how they can get a hold of your book.
Okay. Just Me, Lucy, and the Lord. It can be found on Amazon. It can be found through my publisher, High Bridge Books. And I would mention, Evan, that I've got a second one coming out. It's in the editing process with my publisher. So hopefully in a month or two, I'll have my second one out. So
what's that called?
It's called Still Me, Lucy, and the Lord. And it's another devotional kind of formatted setup like my first one. And let me just mention this, too, if I may. I have made nothing off this book. Those books that have sold or those people who have given donations, I've given my books away, and then I've taken that money and have given it to several charities, which I outlined in the introduction in my second book. So my intent was, and my continued intent is to make nothing off these devotional books, but to give all the money to charities. So, you know, if someone wants to contact me, you know, I'd be glad to send them one. So those are the ways they can get their hands on the first book and on the second book, which should be out in a month or two.
Awesome. Well, Don, thank you so much for joining us today. And hope you have a great day. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Evan. It's been an honor and a privilege. Thank you very much.
You bet. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.